We are going to start the book of Mishlei, although it's known as Proverbs. And the book of Mishlei is one of the books of Tanakh. We know that the Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, after Moshe, we started having prophets that led the different generations through the course of the first temple. So we know Abraham, he was a prophet. God spoke to him. We know that Adam, God spoke to him, right? God asked him, what you do, eating from the fruits, etc. So there was a concept of prophecy before Moshe and after Moshe. And that concept is slightly different. Until Moshe, all the prophets, God spoke to them, but the sole purpose was the conversation between them and God. If God spoke to them, it was for them. Meaning, God didn't tell them, go tell someone else, I said so. God always told them what he wanted from them. It was a conversation about them and God, or them and humanity. The concept of prophecy developed when Moshe came, when God spoke to Moshe. God says to Moshe, go tell the Jewish people I sent you. Moshe says, wait a second, there's a new concept of prophecy. It doesn't mean I should tell them something in your name. Until now, you always told the person what you wanted of him. I'm going to tell the Jewish people, God isn't talking to you directly, but I'm his emissary. I'm his messenger. Why should they believe me? They've never heard of such a concept of prophecy. Until now, prophecy was, if God wanted something from you, he told you directly. Now you're telling me to tell all the Jewish people that you sent me. Why should they accept it? God gives them signs. God tells them, they have on tradition, this is going to happen. Don't worry, they will accept it. And they do. And their acceptance evolves, meaning initially the Jewish people accept on one level, but they're still skeptical. Then after the 10 plagues, they accept, but they're still skeptical. When they reach the splitting of the sea, God gives them all prophecy. At the splitting of the sea, God granted them all a level of prophecy, a level of understanding of their past. When they reach the sea, suddenly they can understand why they had to go through all of the afflictions of Egypt. Their understanding of God's ways evolved. Now, what is prophecy? We say that there are levels how a person can work on himself to be a better person. We have a braisa, we have a Tanaic quote by a Tana, a rabbi in the Tanaic period named Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair enumerates the traits that a person works on. And he enumerates traits that are really in an order. How does a person grow? He should work on this trait, and that'll bring him to the next trait, and that'll bring him to the next trait. And what's at the top? Prophecy. A prophet isn't just someone God speaks to. God speaks to him because he's perfected his humanity. He's perfected himself to the level of godliness. He's on level that God talks to him. So people think prophecy is, oh, God spoke to him. No, prophecy isn't just that God spoke to him. Prophecy is that he has perfected himself. He's such a good person that he's on the level that God will talk to him. But you have to first be a person who controls his anger, controls his fear, controls his traits. He's in control. So prophecy is a level of being a good person. Now, all of the Jewish people got a gift. They didn't perfect themselves. When they left Egypt, they weren't on that level. But sometimes, just like God could make the Nile turn to blood, God could decide, now I'm going to talk to these people even though they're not on the level. So it was a gift that God gave them. There were twice that the Jewish people in mass saw prophecy. One was at the splitting of the sea, and the second one was at Sinai. So then it says that at the splitting of the sea, what does it say right afterwards? Then they believed in Hashem and Moshe. Then they reached a whole new level of belief. When God gave the Torah at Sinai and revealed himself to all the Jewish people with the Ten Commandments, so that was another level of belief. Now, really, if we had more time, we have to go into what does it mean, prophecy. I mean, we think of prophecy, okay, I see you, you see me, I see God. It's not that way. A vision of God is not with the eye. Meaning, you don't see a physical, you don't see anything physical. It's a vision that one sees with one's neshama. It's not a vision that's seen with the physical eye. A vision, it's like a dream is something we can compare to. A dream is something that the mind develops. A vision of prophecy is not in the mind. It's with the neshama. Something totally different. So it's not the same thing, but it's similar. And we could compare it, because just like a dream, you see a vision and it's not really there, so too a vision of prophecy. But it's not exactly the same thing, because a dream is from the imaginative parts of the brain. A vision of prophecy is not imagination. It's not. It's a totally different level of sight. But that's something which we could discuss at greater length a different time. I mean, we're summarizing now things that each point, really we could expand for an hour. We could delve into. We're not going into the evolvement of traits. There's a whole book written on that called Mesilat Yesharim, Path of the Just. He takes that, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir, the evolvement of traits, still prophecy, and he explains what each one is and how one develops each one, how each one leads to the next one. That's we said it in one sentence. He has a whole book on it. Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato. So when we read the works of the prophets, we have to understand we're reading works of prophets. It's not just the thought, oh, King Solomon had an intelligent thought, he wrote it down, we have it on tradition. But rather, what we're learning now, when we're learning Proverbs, are words that are godly. Now, with that in mind, let's begin. Okay? Now, we have commentaries. Our sages give us different commentaries, and we'll go into that as we go on. You have a Hebrew-English translation there. If you feel comfortable with it, you could look at the same text as me. What is a proverb? Proverb.
Proverb. I know it, but I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking is because Mishlei is generally translated as Proverbs. And it's not really an accurate translation. The word mashal can mean an allegory, a metaphor, a simile. It's any time that you say something and you mean something to illustrate the concept. So when I say the sun is shining in the room, I don't mean the sun is shining in the room. I mean, you're so bright, I feel like the sun is shining. Sometimes we say things, and I'm hungry as a lion. Am I hungry as a lion? No. So this whole book, King Solomon speaks about basic advice, and to every piece of advice, there are levels in which we can understand it deeper and deeper and deeper. So that's why it's called Mishlei. It's his proverbs, it's his allegories, it's his metaphors, because we say everything he said here has multiple meanings. Now, it's self-evident that if you take that and you just open it up that way, so then you could get anywhere. You could say, well, he meant this, he meant that. You could say everything. That's why you need tradition. If we didn't have tradition, then this would be a book that would be impossible to read beyond its surface. But we have tradition, and that's why we have these commentaries that tell us on tradition what did he mean. Now, in every verse that we read in Bible, there are four levels. And these four levels expand to more. You've heard of that? Pardes? The acronym is Pardes. Pardes literally means an orchard. But Pardes is an acronym. The Pei, Pa, is Pshat, a simple understanding. The Resh, Par, the Resh is Remes. Same Resh is Remes, the illusion. Then you have Drush, the derivation. And then Sod, the secrets. So that forms the word Pardes, those four concepts. Every verse has four levels of understanding. Now, if you want to get beyond the basic level, you need tradition. Because everyone can say, well, it's alluding to this. Maybe you could derive that. No, we have a specific series of laws, how we derive things from verse. So now let's begin. We're about to enter one of the wisest books that were ever written. The whole world has been studying this book. And we'll try to get as much as we can out of it. One of the things I'll try to be careful is to give as little as possible from me and as much as possible from him and tradition. Okay? If I quote examples, it's just to illustrate a point. But I'm going to try to keep myself out of the picture because I want you to hear what King Solomon has to say, not what I have to say. Okay? Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. The following are the Proverbs, and again, we said that's a weak translation for the word Mashal, of Solomon, the son of David, who was king over Israel. Ladat Chochma u'Musar. He wrote these Proverbs in order to make known, to know Chochmah, wisdom, umusar. What is musar? So musar is a complicated word. We're going to encounter this word throughout the book of Mishlei. And he says, I want to teach people how to musar in modern Hebrew in the last few centuries means words of rebuke. But really, in Mishlei, the word musar means to direct, to lehasir means to remove. When you remove from a person his mistakes, when you remove him from a path that's erroneous, that's called musar. Now, musar, sometimes people translate it as rebuke. But that's a very coarse translation. The more accurate translation is to remove a person from error, to remove him from his erroneous ways. So King Solomon wrote this book to know wisdom, and Musar, to remove a person from his errors, Lehavin, to understand, Imre Vina, words of intellect. Lakachat Musar Haskel, to take teachings that will teach a person the intellectual way of going. Tzedek, how to be righteous. Mishpat, to do justice. Umeisharim, and go an equitable path. Meaning, I could be just and say, I don't owe you anything. Why should I go the extra mile for you? That's justice. Justice is fear. It's not necessarily kind. So we say in Judaism there's tzedek, that's like the word tzedakah, that's to be righteous, that's going beyond the call of duty. There's mishpat, that's just, exactly what's fair. And then there's meisharim, the straight path. Straight means there's room for the balance between righteous and just. To be straight can sometimes be, you come to a court case, and this guy says, well, his dog ate my flowers, and he has to pay for the flowers. And the other guy says, I don't want to pay for the flowers. I can't afford to pay for the flowers. He should have put a gate around his flowers. So you look at the case and you say, really, your dog ate his flowers. You should pay for the flowers. But you go to the guy and you say, look, the flowers are a question of beauty. They're going to grow back. If he watches his dog from now on, would you forego the payment of the flowers? He owes you. You're right. But he has a claim. Maybe you should have protected your flowers better. You both have the garden. Or there could be cases where there's room for finding a medium ground between us. That's meisharim. A good judge, before he gives justice, says, wait, can we find something that everyone agrees to? Can we find something in between? I could call the shot and say, okay, you have to pay this, you have to pay that, and no one will be happy, right? Usually that's what happens. Better if we find medium ground. So that's meisharim. So Shlomo Amar says, I'm going to teach you how to be intellectual. I'm going to teach you how to be smart. I'm going to teach you how to lead a good life. And I'm going to teach you how to be both fair and just and equitable. Everything. Latet liftaim o'ma. I want to give the fools who are petty is one who is easily enticed. Someone comes to you and says, I want to sell you the bridge. Will you buy it? Who says he owns the bridge? So you go online and suddenly, ding, 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 you're the 999th visitor to our site. You won. Just give us your credit card details and we'll send you all the money. Are you going to fall for it or not? Shlomo HaMelech says, I want with my mishalim to give the petty, the one who's easily seduced, the one who's easily enticed, oma, cunning, to be able to discern what's true and what not. When you learn this, one of the things I'm going to teach you, Solomon says, is to understand, to discern. Don't buy into everything. Just because something looks good doesn't mean you should buy into it. So he says, latet, I want to give, liftaim. He calls peti, is loosely translated a fool. But it doesn't mean a fool the way the world uses it. When Solomon says peti, you see there are many words here that are loosely translated, if you see an English text. But each one in Hebrew has an exact definition. Peti is one who is easily convinced. You say so, okay. Who said? Latet liftaim, I want to give these people oma, cunning, to be able to discern what's true and what's not. Lenar, to the lad who's young, he doesn't yet have experience, I want to give him dat, knowledge, umzima, and how to make plans in life. Mzima is thoughts, it's thoughts of planning. Yishma chacham, if a wise person hears my words, v'yosef lekach, he'll add to his knowledge. Meaning he'll say, I have all this. Yeah, you'll still gain by reading this work. V'navon, and one who has understanding will be able to take from my works, tachbulot yikneh, will figure out new plans, new ways of making money, of succeeding in life. He says, I'm going to give you advice for life. You're going to see the book is filled with practical advice for life. Not only for Torah, for being a moral person, also for not falling prey to swindlers and scams. It's just a lot of good advice here. Lavin mashalum litza. Shlomo Amar says, when you read my works, I want you to understand the mashal, the deep meaning. What do I mean behind? What am I referring to? Umlitza, and the simple meaning. Meaning, what you could give an example that the deep meaning is right, is true, but the simple meaning is wrong. You tell a person, imagine, you jump off the cliff and you start flying like Superman, that's life. So that's an example that's just wrong. You should never jump off a cliff. You're never going to be like Superman. Maybe the meaning is sometimes you have to leap into things and then you'll be successful. But the example is not a true example. Shlomo Melech says, I'm never going to do that. Every example I'm going to give, the simple understanding, in case you never get beyond the simple understanding also has wisdom. I'm going to give you simple explanation, simple examples, but there's always a deeper meaning. But if you never get beyond the simple understanding, you'll also get something. Lavin mashal, to understand the deeper meaning, umlitza, and the simple meaning of what I've said. Divrei chachamim mechidotam, and from this you'll also know how to understand the words of our sages and what's hidden behind them. Sometimes our sages say things that's a chida. Chida is a riddle. When you hear a riddle, you know you don't understand. There are things that you say, well, I understand, but maybe there's a deeper meaning. There are things that you hear and you know there's no meaning, that there's a deeper meaning, that the simple meaning is not what they meant. Our sages say, the story of Rabbi Bar Barchanai. He says, I was traveling on a ship with all my men. We got off the ship. We went out on an island. We started making a picnic. We made a bonfire. And then the island started moving. And we realized that the island was really a huge fish. And the island started, the fish started swimming. And we all jumped for our lives. And I made it back to the ship. And I didn't die. You read that? You know, he didn't mean it. That's not what happened. He's telling you a story. And there's a deeper meaning. But you know that he didn't mean it literally. That's a chida. A chida is when you hear a story and you know the simple meaning is not, that's not what's going on here. So the words of our sages, he says, from my work, you're going to know to understand the deeper meaning of an allegory, the simple meaning. The words of our sages and even their chidot, even the things that they say, that you know there's only depth. Now, these six verses are introductory. Till here was his introduction. Now he's going to begin. Yirat Hashem reshit dat. He says, the first thing a person has to know is to have fear of God. That's the first thing. And we're going to see that Shlomo HaMelech is going to say later in the work that to be a God-fearing person is what we strive for throughout our knowledge. And here our sages ask the contradiction. What do you mean it's the first step? And what do you mean that's what you strive for? If it's the first step, then you got it once you made the first step. If it's what you're striving for, you can't expect to get it in your first step. So our sages say that there are two levels of being a God-fearing person. The first step is a base level. There's a base understanding. I understand God is here. He wants me to be a moral person. And he wants me to behave. And there's a base level of being a God-fearing person. That a person could attain in a day, in a week. A person can attain that to start with. But that's not the real level of being a God-fearing person. That's just basic. You have to really study to understand what does it mean? What does God mean? What does he want of me? And what type of fear does he want me to have? Does he really want me to spend my whole life trembling? He's going to zap me with lightning? No, there's more depth to it than that. There's a lot more depth to it than that. After all of your studies, you can attain a real level of God-fearing. But to begin, you also have to have the base level. If a person approaches learning Torah and there's no element of fear or awe of God, then he can't really approach the Torah. Then he's reading it with cynicism. He's reading it with an attitude that he won't get anything positive out of it. You could read the Torah and get negative out of it. You could read it and keep saying, well, what about this and what about that? Yeah, you could. He says, the first thing a person has to know, whenever you're going to start learning, first there has to be, I always say when I start a class, let's take God out of the room. Let's talk logic, let's understand, let's be fair with one another. Tell me what you really feel, tell me what you think. Don't sit here and start being, tell me the answer you think I want to hear or that God wants you to say. Let's be honest now. Does it make sense to you? If it doesn't make sense, say it doesn't make sense. So that's on a level because I want us to be honest. And that's how we could grow intellectually. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, but wait, realistically, if you really want to learn Torah, then the first step is first to recognize that God is in the room. Meaning, the beginning of knowledge is the recognition. There is a God. And he wants something of me. And I have to behave. And if I don't, he's there. So this is a complex message, what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Yirat Hashem Rashid Da. You're nodding your head, but are you with me? Yeah? Because you're going to be a madrich. So think about what this message means. And as a madrich, you come to guys, what's your goal with him? Where do you want to bring him?
This is different from a group, but like, to know more about Judaism is like Gelot. Is one of them, because we have a Scandinavian, there's no real Jewish schools. The main source of their getting their information about Judaism is Pilot, maybe once a week for the Kiva or the summer camps. So it's, yeah, being like, we are like the school for some of them. So it's a lot of it is like basic Judaism. Could be rules, like Kashrut, and it could also be just like Tanakh history, like stories, tell them. So get them more like intellectual into about Judaism.
Give me five words or five sentences that sum up what you want the Chanichim to know from Bnei Akiva. You're their Madrich, what are your five goals? Think for a minute. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Once you define your goals, then we could start saying, okay, how am I going to get there? You want to make it seven. Put maximum seven. Think, I'll be back in a minute. Okay?